News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. On your Tuesday morning, which means it's time for Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and also the Washington Examiner. And Quinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Quinn, the FBI under heavy scrutiny. Well, it seems like it's been they've been under heavy scrutiny for years now, ever since Servergate, but even before then. But especially here recently, and with the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and big news yesterday that one of the FBI agents, Timothy Tebalt, who was an assistant special agent in charge. There are different reports. Some say he resigned from his post last week. Most were saying that he was escorted out of the field office by at least two security men, or as one person put, headquarters-looking types. And the reasoning behind this is apparently because this special agent in charge showed that he was partisan in some of the actions that he took, including helping to cover up the Hunter Biden laptop story going into the 2020 elections. Your thoughts on this and the overall look it gives for the FBI right now?
Well, it certainly doesn't help the FBI's overall look, and Tebow was one of two fairly high-ranking agents who whistleblowers said, and already pretty much approved, interfered with the Hunter Biden investigation, tried to cover it up, tried to get people not to investigate it, et cetera, et cetera. This came out in a report a couple of weeks ago by Chuck Grassley, the senator from Iowa, and it's terrible. I mean, you know, I was all over the Hunter Biden thing from the beginning nearly 2 years ago. It was horrific politicization of the FBI, and unfortunately, it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to get the number wrong. It was definitely in the 700s. I think it was 747 incidents. There was a report by the Inspector General, I believe it was, of the FBI that came out about 2 months ago that said just in high-profile cases in just a couple of years, there were 747 instances of FBI agents not following proper procedure, breaking laws or breaking big internal FBI rules. And most, by high profile, most of these were people involved somewhere high up in the political arena or in the otherwise the public arena. Chris Wray has now been head of the FBI for 5 years. You might say he might have inherited this. He's had 5 years to clean it up. He's director of the FBI, and he has done nothing. And I could go on. I've got a horror story that I know of a single person. But basically, the idea is at certain levels in certain areas of the FBI, it's politicized, it's abusive, and it has to be cleaned up. But before I stop, I've got to say, that doesn't mean the entire FBI mm-hmm. is made up of bad guys. The FBI is a huge agency. There are plenty of good agents out there. Anybody who says, oh, disband the whole FBI, doesn't know what they're talking about. Do you not want some sort of national law enforcement to go after drug gangs, to go after, you know, cross-state violent groups, et cetera, et cetera? Of course you need an FBI, but they got to clean it up.
Then, of course, late last week, Mark Zuckerberg's assertions that the FBI told them to look for some Russian disinformation coming down the line, and it turned out to be the thing that fit that profile was the Hunter Biden story. So they dismissed
it. Exactly. Again, this is, look, the FBI should have finished its investigation and handed over to prosecutors the evidence of lawbreaking by Hunter Biden long, long ago. Look, even just from use of highly, you know, major use of highly restricted narcotics, to obvious international trafficking with some of these prostitutes, those alone are federal crimes, much less any of the financial stuff that Hunter Biden has been in. They have the goods on him. It's an atrocity that it's gone this long without some sort of indictment.
Yeah, and Quinn, you know, the Republicans are promising if they win the House and or Senate that there will be investigations after November. But before we get into that, I want to ask, because you mentioned the people that are saying to basically start over with the FBI, what is a real way? What is something you could see actually having a lasting and good effect for the FBI and for the nation to begin this reform? How could the average American citizen, or even the American citizen who pays attention to the news, have confidence in the FBI when it's apparent, and they're at least admitting to some of their very important agents, that they are partisan hacks?
I'll tell you what you do. Chris Wray, the director, gets up before Congress, and so far he said, well, I can't talk about that. It's, you know, internal inquiry. No, BS. They need to make a public show of every time that they find one of these agents that has broken the laws or broken major rules. They need to publicize it. They need, if it's laws that they broke, they need to prosecute it. They need to announce what punishment has been handed out for people who break the rules. They need to send a public message that, well, first of all, they need to start punishing people and to clean it up and send a public message that they're doing so, which means there might be dozens or hundreds of agents who get disciplined, fired, or in some few instances even prosecuted. They need to do that in public. He needs to come clean, and he needs to stop being this mealy mouth. Well, that's under internal investigation. That's a private matter. BS. This is a public agency, and he needs to take charge, take control, and clean out the stables.
Yeah, and I think they could start by, even before the midterms, maybe publicly saying they're looking into some of these allegations and looking further into the Hunter Biden story.
Well, he said that they're looking into it. The point is, how long does it take to look into it? He said 5 years to clean this up. And even when you have, it was either the inspector general or some other, something that's similar to an inspector general, identify in just a year and a half 747 major infractions. Mm-hmm. You don't just look into it. You start taking scalps.
Right.
And you show that you've made punishment. Don't just, oh, we're looking into it. That's not enough. It's sickening. And basically, Christopher Wray has acted for 5 years as if his job is not to protect the public, but to protect the agency. And that's wrong. And what it does is it besmirches the reputations of all the hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands, of good, honest FBI agents that are or FBI workers that are spread all across the country doing their job, protecting you, protecting me. But their reputations are getting hurt as well by all this politicization in this sort of semi-top rank.
And, you know, House Republicans at the same time are saying if they win come November that they're going to investigate that. I guess it would be a lot like the January 6th committee we've all been hearing from over the last year and a half. They said they're going to look into the foreign business dealings of Hunter Biden, also the origins of COVID, what's going on at the border. Do you take these Republicans seriously when they say this? And do you think would this actually lead to any further steps being taken, or would it all be for show?
Well, that's a good question. There need to be investigations. The investigations need to only occur if the facts warrant, and then the investigation should go further only if the facts warrant. Right now, the Republicans are talking about it as if it is political payback. You know what? I think everybody on both sides is sick of political payback. You investigate something if it's wrong, not to go and try to prove that something is wrong because it'll help you politically, but only if the facts warrant. They need to bring down the tone, but that doesn't mean they should not investigate. It just means they should be sober about it, and they shouldn't get ahead of themselves and say, we're going to take scalps before they even have had a chance to look into it. And, you know, this is just in general. Obviously, I just said they need to take scalps. The FBI internally needs to take scalps upon people that have already proven to have, you know, done misdeeds.
So
but
much.
They
so,
need to be sober and not political.
There's so much bureaucracy in D.C. And when I'm reading a story, then I'll come across another agency and I think, now what role do they play in all this?
Yeah.
For instance, the DOJ also said about Mar-a-Lago that they and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Well, there's another layer of something out there. It's just maddening to me, Quinn. As you just
well, it's absolutely maddening to me. And look, now they're going to get 86,852 new IRS agents, 14 times as many new ones for enforcement as for customer service help. You know, a number, a small number, but a number of these are going to be armed and. Hell, I wrote a story way back in, I think it was 2009, called Ninja Bureaucrats on the Loose. They've got way too many federal agencies with way too many armed agents. Why do people at Health and Human Services need to carry arms? Why do people at the IRS need to carry arms? There needs to be a wholesale review of the force, the size, and frankly, the danger of some of these federal agencies.
When we get back, Quinn, I want to talk about what's going on in New Orleans. Mayor Cantrell, we talked a couple weeks ago about her threatening Mardi Gras would go away if they didn't get enough cops on the streets. And also, Biden set to address the nation Thursday night, the last Thursday before football takes over, mind you. And we'll discuss that with Quinn coming back on Mobile Mornings.
I think everybody's going to be watching Penn State that night. It's 18 after 8, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, Tuesday morning on Mobile Mornings, 8:23. And Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and the Washington Examiner on the line with us this morning.
Yeah, and let's, Quinn, head west a little bit and talk about what's going on in a city you know well, New Orleans. Just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the mayor there, LaToya Cantrell, basically once again holding Mardi Gras over the heads of her constituents and saying, we might not have Mardi Gras in 2023 if we don't have enough cops in the streets to keep everyone safe. And then she walked that back immediately the next day. And a lot of people are saying, what's the deal? You were like team defund the police. And she even showed up for the trial, or I forget what it was, maybe the first court date for a kid accused of carjacking, a teenager. And she took the carjacker's side in this whole thing, in something that happened in her city, and now a recall effort out there in New Orleans.
There's a recall effort. And look, as of this past Sunday, the New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Lafayette papers are carrying my column every Sunday.
All right.
And so I had my inaugural piece special for them, and it was on the crime situation there. Look, Mayor Cantrell, from top to bottom, has been one of the worst mayors I've ever seen. And, again, every time you turn around, there's a gaffe, there's something obnoxious. She just traveled, you know, mayors travel internationally to do, you know, drum up trade or business or whatever. But then she took a side trip to Paris, first class accommodations, and something like an extra $29,000 that she tried to charge the taxpayers. I could go on, but yes, there's a recall movement. It's very hard to do a recall in Louisiana, but it is possible. The barriers are sort of strict. But just the fact that there's a recall movement there, which has almost never happened before. It did happen once in Jefferson Parish there. But it's part of a backlash, and that's what I want to say. It's not just one bad mayor in New Orleans. There are a lot of mayors and especially district attorneys and state attorneys general in some cases, but not many, mostly district attorneys across the country, who were elected with left-wing money, including money that started with George Soros, and this is documented fact. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky, you know, fear-mongering. And their mantra has been, empty the prisons. Let the people out of prison. We've got too much incarceration, and we just need to understand these people. Well, that's fine if you want to find alternative sentencing to low-level offenders But you still prosecute him and you still sentence him to something, but maybe you have some alternative to prison. But they're letting heinous offenders out on the streets, and there is now a backlash. So the DA in San Francisco actually did get recalled just about a month or two ago. Now there's this recall effort against against Mayor Cantrell in Louisiana. There have been recall efforts across the country, and there's basically a huge backlash against all of this nonsense, and frankly, there needs to be.
And Quinn, we got a text from Backstrap Stacker. I just want to read part of this. It's a really good long text. But he said, car break-ins are the norm now in the Central Business District. Crime is the worst I've ever seen it in New Orleans. I love that city, but won't be back for a long time. Just wait until 1,000 or so cars get broken into when the Saints play. Or, you know, better yet, we were just talking about in D.C., Brian Robinson Jr. getting shot in an attempted carjacking. Would it take Zion Williamson getting shot in downtown New Orleans for people to pay even more attention to this?
Look, it's bad. When I was there earlier this year, my upstairs neighbor, we were sitting in our little apartment there at about 9 at night, and all of a sudden we hear this breaking glass and the siren goes off, and somebody has done a smash and grab of the car of my upstairs neighbor. Just since I wrote my column 2 days ago, I've heard of three different people who I know who emailed me and said they got carjacked.
Wow.
This isn't just random. Three people that I know have gotten carjacked in the last 2 months. The number of homicides there so far this year, 196.
Wow.
That's more than one a day.
That's not that big.
In a city of only 350,000.
I was going to say,
that's
not
insane.
That is insane. It's not that big a city. My goodness. That's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's not just New Orleans. You mentioned it's a national problem, and it sounds like something to me that the uniter-in-chief could fix. Biden, who said he was going to unite the country, and a primetime address set for tomorrow night where he will, by all reports, it sounds like he will excoriate his Republican opponents.
Yeah, he says he's going to talk about the soul of the nation. What does this guy know about the soul of the nation? This is a guy who wants schools to be able to promote transgenderism without even telling children's parents. This is a guy who has had an open border, had a tragedy at the border with kids not being taken care of, a flood of illegals, flood of narcotics coming across the border. I could go right down the list. He doesn't understand the soul of the nation. He needs to go away.
Yeah, he's not. He's also not put himself in position to win the coveted Catholic of the Year award.
That's for darn sure.
Thanks, Quinn. Tell everybody where they can get your stuff if they'd like to read you anytime, and also those books on Amazon.
Well, books on Amazon, the Mad Jones trilogy, fun satirical novels. You can Google me and Washington Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, or I haven't updated for a while, but usually QuinnHillier.com, and you can subscribe for absolutely free.
Thank you, Quinn. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks.
That was Quinn Hillier. Coming back, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. And I want to talk a little bit more about crime and how, now that celebrities are being targeted, Brian Robinson Jr., the running back, he had an Apple TV production shut down in Baltimore. Mariah Carey, gang members raiding her house. We're going to talk about that when we get back.
Yeah, good, good. 8 to 8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday. Coming back to the texts and the phones here in just a minute, 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by my good friends over at Tobias and Comer Law. They've been working here in Mobile for decades, helping folks on both sides of the bay. And with football starting very soon, I guess high school ball's already started. Some college teams have already begun play. But that means a whole lot more tailgating going on out there. And, you know, alcohol is available at some of these games, even some of the SEC games now. And at Tobias and Comer Law, they want to remind everyone to stay safe on the roads. And there might be people, especially with football getting started here, who are out there and have been overserved. At this point, should go without saying, if you are impaired, whether it's from alcohol or if you've used an impairing drug, you need to make sure you designate a sober driver, or you can call a cab or use one of those ride-hailing services like Lyft or Uber. Don't let your friends behind the wheel if they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And for the rest of us who are obeying the law, always remember to wear your seatbelt. That is your best defense against impaired drivers. At Tobias and Comer Law, they'll offer a free consultation 24/7. If you feel you may have an injury case and you want to just talk to an attorney, you can call at any time, 251-432-5001. That's 251-432-5001. Or you can visit their awesome website, Tobias Comer Law.
836, turning up your voice this half hour, 251-343-0106. If you want to give us a call, feel free. Of course, that is also the text line, which has been very busy today, 251-343-0106. Just feel free to hit us up. We'll talk with you.
Yeah, and regarding that speech from Biden that's coming up Thursday night. I keep trying to advance through the week quicker than we are. But Thursday night, Biden primetime speech. And this comes after Friday, where he basically called Republicans or maybe followers of Trump semi-fascist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one for me. Can you be...
Yeah.
Can one be semi-fascist?
Not really.
No, it's kind of an all-in thing.
Yeah.
Or all-out. But his primetime address, I guess, is not going to be much lighter in the rhetoric than what you saw on Friday.
It's not going to be on any of the TVs at Voodoo Wings, by the way.
No, I don't think so. I'll have to check it. Yeah. I'll have to pay attention later once I get home from Voodoo. He's supposed to address on the continued battle for the soul of the nation. This will be at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And, of course, it comes 2 months before the midterms. He's set to discuss how the nation's standing in the world and its democracy are at stake. The White House said, quote, he'll talk about the progress we've made as a nation to protect our democracy, but how our rights and freedoms are still under attack. And he will make clear who is fighting for those rights, fighting for those freedoms, and fighting for our democracy. He said he's trying to portray November's elections as a choice for voters between ultra-MAGA Republicans and Democrats. He told supporters last week they had to, quote, vote to literally save democracy once again, and at that point labeled some Republicans as semi-fascist. So Thursday night from Biden. Remember, he was supposed to unite the country. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things he ran on going into 2020.
You can see it's so clear what the Democratic strategy is leading into November, and that is just to scare everybody's, you know, beyond their wits and about what Republicans or conservatives will do in office.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game plan.
Right.
Because I've never heard the rhetoric that, I mean, just across the board, it's just, it's way out of bounds.
And everything they do is about saving democracy, Dan. And you mentioned it when we were talking with Quinn about the whole Facebook story that Zuckerberg said the FBI came to him or came to Facebook the week before the Biden laptop story broke, where they said, be aware there's Russian disinformation on the way. So they continued to say that they have to safeguard democracy through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and at the same time are set to basically join hands with TikTok and get a lot of their Democrat messaging out via the, I guess now TikTok, the most popular app in America, mm-hmm. or at least very near. So some social media, the ones that they never got control of to begin with, those are bad because democracy can be subverted through Facebook and Twitter. But TikTok, we're all good. They got ahead of that one before anyone else could get their anti-democracy hands on it. So pay attention to TikTok and not the rest of them. At least that's what the White House would have you think.
I've not gone the TikTok route yet and don't believe I'm going to. Maybe it's because I'm of an advanced age, or maybe it's because China, or maybe it's a little both.
Yeah.
We've got Derek from Mobile who wanted to talk a little bit about what Quinn was talking about. Derek, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
All right. Well, I want to explain something about the IRS special agents. And this is in general with a lot of the agencies. They have OIGs, which are inspector generals for that particular agency that deal with fraud specific for that agency. So that's criminal actions, and they have arrest powers related for the federal agencies. That's why they're armed agents. Mm-hmm. IRS in particular is a bigger agency, and they have a lot of broad cases. So they could be working on anything from money laundering for drugs to human trafficking to smuggling of counterfeit goods. It could be anything. So they're a little different, and they do a lot of different types of stuff. They're not just going to be working on tax cases. And in general, tax cases require a really high threshold, which means they have to be a high dollar amount for them to even be working a tax case. They also work bad prepare cases, which are guys who are doing bad returns. They're often a heavy burden on the taxpayer. So to say that we don't need armed IRS agents is a misunderstanding of what they actually do. They're actually about 2,000 agents short right now, which means they need more agents. They don't have enough agents to do the cases that they need to mm-hmm. do.
Mm-hmm.
So because of their expertise, that's why they're so valuable, because they're financial crimes experts. They have some of the highest expertise within that financial crimes genre. And a lot of agencies like to work with them because of that expertise.
And so, Derek, I guess that's one of my questions, is why isn't there more interagency, you know, cooperation? Why do we need to arm these IRS agents? I know you laid out some of the cases they're working with, but, you know, last count, they had over 5 million rounds of ammo, the IRS alone.
Well, that's because, I mean, that again, that's an idea of not understanding the dynamics of how buying ammunition works. I mean, if you're a hunter or a fisherman right now, you know that there's a lot of problems with finding ammo. So they buy ammo in bulk so that they have yeah. enough ammo to make sure that they can train their agents, they can qualify their agents, and they have agents to ammo to issue their agents to actually do their mission and do their job.
Yeah, so I'd say they load it up with 5 million rounds.
That's a big deal to say, okay, well, they don't need that ammo. Well, if they can buy it cheaper at a lower price and have that ammo on hand, that means they don't have to buy it later on.
And so, I mean, just your thoughts. Do you see why some people would be disconcerted that they're making an even greater push to arm more IRS agents, when it's come out over this last decade how partisan some of those at the top of the agency are against Republicans?
I do, and I understand that, but I think it's a misunderstanding of understanding exactly what IRS special agents do and how small they are within the IRS envelope.
But
there's not a lot of CID agents out there, or Criminal Investigation Division agents out there.
So
when
the stakes are hot,
they're probably looking at probably only hiring maybe another 2,000 or 2,500 special agents that would actually be armed special agents that would work for CID. The other rest of them are going to be auditors or something along those lines, which are civil guys. They're not going to be armed.
Derek, so to wrap it up, but what you're saying is when the stakes are high, when the money is high, and beyond that too, into other crimes, they need to be armed because we're talking about dangerous situations, dangerous people.
A lot of the things that they do involve a lot of dangerous people. They're not very nice people. These are going to be drug dealers. They're going to be human traffickers. They're going to be smugglers that are bringing in counterfeit goods. All these people are dangerous people that are criminals that a lot of people deal with that are not going to be nice people. That they could be involved in a lethal force encounter just like any other law enforcement agency. And again, you're thinking that these are guys are going in there messing with your W-2 employees that are you know, not reporting $1,000. That's not where an IRS special agent's going to come in. Again, the threshold for a evasion case for an IRS special agent is extremely high. It's going to be somewhere around $250,000 or more. That's just on the fact that they've got to have a real high threshold before it becomes a criminal case.
Thanks for your call, Derek, very much. A defender of the IRS and armed agents.
That's right. Appreciate the call there, Derek. And we've got a couple more on the line right now. Can't see my screen.
I've got Daniel's in Foley right now. Daniel, hello.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What you got for us today?
Oh, I just want to talk about that guy who was just on the air.
Yeah, good.
For people who have W-2s, you ain't going to have to worry about 60,000 new agents. But I'm a small business owner. And what they do to me is what they've been doing to me for the last few years. They're never coming at me with no audit. They're coming at me with saying, hey, guess what? You owe me more money. And when I try to respond to them, you get no answer, and then it's final warning.
How long have you been dealing with this?
We're going to have more IRS agents auditing people like me who make less than $100,000 a year, and they're going to keep the border agents down and let the overwhelming majority of anybody run in this country.
So you got a small businessman being shaken down by a government agency, and then you got Mexicans pouring across the border.
And they will never, ever audit me officially, and I can't never defend myself when they just say, you owe more.
Do you have an attorney?
I am not rich enough for that, sir. I don't make enough. So when they tell me every year I owe them $2,000 or $3,000 more, I just pay them.
Wow.
So the shakedown is in. They don't need no damn gun. They just need more IRS agents to call little pity people like me who don't make much to get a couple extra thousand out of the math.
Well,
there's only 1,000 billionaires in this country anyway. So, Mr. IRS agent lover, you can have them.
Great call. Thanks, buddy. Want to sneak in one more call?
Let's get one more in, yes. And then we'll maybe when we get back, the great space odyssey with Vice President Kamala Harris.
You've got to do that. David Preston is on the line. David, hello.
All those crimes that Derek talked about that the IRS investigate, the FBI and the U.S. Marshals also investigate. So why do we have overlapping law enforcement agencies?
That was the question by Dalton.
Yeah, I don't know why there's
consolidate
not.
Consolidate them all into one federal law enforcement agency. We can call them FLEAs for short.
Yeah, and by the way, some of those.
That's what we need is another acronym out there that I can't figure out.
Exactly. And one of those reports they had with how often the IRS has had to use those firearms that they have. Between 2009 and 2011, there were a total of 8 firearm discharges classified as intentional use of force and 11 discharges classified as accidental. So
wow.
More accidental misfires than there were.
Yeah.
Actual use of force instances.
Anything else, David?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Daphne tax vote today real quickly. I'm a graduate of Daphne High School in 1999. I'm for anything that will help the schools, but I don't think that these cities using their city property tax authority to tax property outside the city is constitutional under the Alabama State Constitution. And if property owners really wanted to band together and challenge that, I think they would have a strong legal argument to make about the city taxing them without representation.
Fine. By the way, something interesting that I have known for years is that the stadium, Jubilee Stadium, is actually, it's on the campus of Daphne High School, but it is property of the city of Daphne itself.
Mm.
It's more like a municipal stadium. Were you aware of that, David?
I was not. I mean, I knew it was on the campus. I didn't know that it was owned by the city. That's interesting.
City owned and managed, same in Fairhope. David, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right.
Yeah, and the polls open for that special election in the Daphne High School feeder system. $3 million property tax increase. We've seen Spanish Fork. We've seen several districts in Baldwin County do this here recently. But that special session opened today, special election.
Spanish Fork looked good the other night against Blunt. Just throwing a little football
in
there.
Property tax played a role in that?
No, there's no question. It's 848, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, and the show is Mobile Mornings. Show today. Jeff Corso following us on FM Talk 106.5. We got Brian Dawson, 1819 News. It's like Jeff can wear him out. He's like an employee of Jeff.
Yeah.
Scare him to death.
Yeah.
Well, your job's in jeopardy. Everything you say to me, I'm listening closely.
He should intimidate him the whole time.
I would be for that. That'd be really good radio, Jeff, if you're listening. Media Research Center's Brian Bradley. Also, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon. And I checked with Jeff, and the answer was yes. I said, are you going to talk about
badass coffee?
And they will. So Tony Kinnon objects to that franchise doing business in Orange Beach because of the name of the franchise. And former State Senator Phil Williams is also going to be a guest on the Jeff Poor Show beginning at 9:05 today.
What goes around comes around, and for a lot of the elites who were shouting defund the police, well, they're starting to get robbed and threatened in some of these different cities. Now, Brian Robinson Jr., I have no idea. If I had to guess, I would say he's probably not political at all, especially under Saban, who doesn't even know or claims he doesn't know when or who is in an election. Saban, all about the football, and Brian Robinson played running back for Bama for years, obviously. Well, now he's up in D.C. and was a victim of an armed carjacking.
Incredible.
On Sunday night. This happened just down the street from the White House. So not that Brian Robinson was asking for it. Certainly he was not, and it's a terrible situation. But then you look at some of these other situations with some liberal elites, like Natalie Portman, who's starring in an Apple TV series, Lady in the Lake, and they shut down that production on Friday.
It was in Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
Okay.
After thugs threatened members of the production crew with extortion and violence unless they paid a protection fee. So producers shut down the filming in an effort to err on the side of caution. These thugs were extorting them for $50,000 and threatened to shoot someone. And you also have in Atlanta more than two dozen gang members indicted, accused of being part of a crime ring that broke into the homes of pop diva Mariah Carey. Also, Calvin Ridley, former Bama player. Mm-hmm. So a lot going on, and you wonder if some of these politicians will maybe change their minds a little bit on the defund the police movement. And at the same time, our vice president, when crime is such an issue across the United States, she is all about the space program.
Even though it had to get scrubbed yesterday, the flight to the moon with the test dummies.
Artemis 1, maybe they can take off on Friday. But
yeah.
Kamala Harris was at Cape Canaveral on Sunday talking about the space program, and we mixed this together. She just loves space so much, we thought we would combine her with Space Odyssey.
Please.
Listen to this.
I'm so proud of what is happening in terms of our space program and the leadership that the United States is providing to the world. The Artemis program is the beginning of the next era of what we have a history and a tradition of doing, of providing vision and inspiring innovation in a way that is going to benefit all mankind and womankind.
I just love the idea of exploring the unknown. And then there's other things that we just haven't figured out or discovered yet. But the other, you guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh my God.
With your own eyes, I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable.
These exceptional public servants, these exceptional skilled professionals who have the ability to see what is possible and what has never been done before. How exciting is that?
I guess maybe I was... Would you say I was better prepared for it, listening to the second time? Because
you knew what was coming.
I knew it was coming, so when I... played it the first time, obviously, I kind of broke down.
Yes.
Kept my composure the entire minute 40 seconds this time around.
She's fired up about space.
Yeah.
For mankind and womankind. And got to tell you, I hope it translates.
The new Netflix series, Dummies in Space. That'll be the chronicling of the dummies going up to orbit the moon. 859 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton.